Yo, this is Mario Savannon, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
Hello, testing. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we'll just.
Just give it the old college try right here.
All big dogs in.
Schmitty! What do you think, Schmitty?
He can just pull shit off.
Talking Schmidt.
He's so fucking different.
Shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Schmidt.
So we are here in Orange, California. The girls' combi contest is finished. And we have a very special situation for you guys. This is the first time we have two guests, and it's Kara Beth and Jen O'Brien.
Hey.
What'd you guys think of the contest?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, the level of the girls was amazing. It was really inspiring. Come see it.
You were just about to tell me the story about how this all came to fruition, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't know. Like, you know, people have to try to make changes, and I've always tried to make changes for the girls, and that's what I... One of them was that the original combi contest with the guys in May, they decided it just to be the guys event, and then they'll do a boys am and then put the girls with the boys. But I emailed Steve Van Dorn several times to get a meeting with him because the girls wanted their own event, and so I was able to finally go up and meet with him at the Vans headquarters, and he okayed that we had our own event and he would support that.
Nice.
And Mimi and I came up with the name, and Mimi drew the graphic. So the same one that they have, we came up with the Combi Girls Classic, how it is, and they just changed the color waves, and Mimi drew that logo. And, you know, we got product for the event, and I would get Nixon watches, and, you know, before, until it kind of, the first couple years, until it finally took off, and it was a good response, so nice. They started making it for sure a yearly event. So
that was that 2008 or something? Is that when they put the separate banner?
I don't know.
Okay, because it used to have the girls and the guys on the same banner, and right. Now there's a girls only banner.
Uh-huh.
So I figure that's probably when it started.
Then, yeah.
Okay. When did you guys meet?
You know what? I met Kara Beth, it was a Back to the City contest, actually, in San Francisco.
Yes.
I came out on the Glug bus, and Kara Beth was there at the contest, and, you know, she was like, hey, you know, I heard you're from Florida, and you skate, let's connect. So we became friends, and I actually shipped her out to Florida to come visit. And
but before that, though, it was, didn't I meet you in San Diego? Like, when that's when I really first remember meeting Jen, is when she was skating the bowl.
What, Happy Land?
Yeah. And they were like, oh, these girls, Jen and Jody, are from Florida. They're skating. And I was like, okay, whatever, because people always would tell me that about girls. But, you know, usually they're just doing a couple kick turns and just then they're chilling for the rest of the time because they just want to say they skate, you
right.
know. But Jen was in the session, full on session. She was carving and going fast and ripping and doing backside ollies over these hips. And I was like, what? What the hell? So for me, you know, in that time of skating, there wasn't any girls doing anything. So
it was like, what, like 92, maybe, like, 93?
And so yeah. That, I was like super impressed, you know, to have, you know, be able to have some girls to go skate with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we always want to skate with the guys, but it's just cool to have your little posse.
Sure.
So it was really cool once I started rolling with Jen and Jody.
Rad. Jen, you grew up in some part of Florida.
Yeah, Daytona.
And where did you grow up?
Orange County, the city of Orange, up in those hills right there.
Rad.
Before the OC was the OC, when it was just orange groves and little fruit stands and riding my pony and getting my skateboard and seeing the Big O. And I skated the Big O
nice.
When I was, like, I don't know, super little. And
uh-huh.
I saw skating, and that's what I wanted to do. And I always got shut down by all the guys, like, in my neighborhood. But my dad bought me the summer pass, the Big O, and once those neighbor kids started coming and they saw me skate, they were like, never mind what we said, because I just wanted to go skate, and my parents didn't care. They were, like, stoked on me just having fun, and it wasn't a big deal. They never made any reference to being a guy or a girl. Just do your thing.
Perfect.
You know, just go skate. So that was really, like, makes, you know, your parents have a big influence on what you do.
For
you
sure.
So they were always supportive.
Right. And did you have a little crew when you were a kid that you started skating with, or were you kind of just solo?
Yeah, no, I had the guys, you know. Do you know Jason Richardson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was part of my crew.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dwayne Peters.
Dwayne Peters, he was there, the older guy, and he was like, show up, and, you know, he's older and have his bleach blonde hair and his red bandana, and he's gnarly, but then he took me under his wing and would be so cool and taught me tricks, but he'd be like, you know, because I had contests with other girls, and he would just be so supportive. And but then I got, like, the DP instilled in me from a young age. He was like, just take the slam and get back up and go do it. You know what I mean? It was like Dwayne. So you were like, okay, you know, so that's what I know from growing up. Like, he put that shit in my head. Like, so, yeah, Dwayne and I always connect, and when we do, it's cool. Like,
have you talked to him recently?
Not recently, but I heard, you know, I know he's recovering from, like, some operations and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I'd like to see him, because every time, you know, it's really cool.
Rad.
Because I just have such a history with him, and just, you know, he, even when I rode for Santa Cruz back in the day, I wanted to ride the Dwayne board, but it was way too big, because, and Jason, I think, might have rode for Santa Cruz too, so back then, but they made a mini Dwayne for us, and they'd cut them down and make the mini Dwayne board. I don't even know if it was really one they actually did make, but they would make special ones for us to ride, because I was like, I want to ride the Dwayne board.
Okay.
But it's too big, and I'm 10. I'm like, I need something smaller.
Do you remember your first board?
Yeah, it was an Alva board. Yeah.
Just like an Alva...
just with that Alva grip tape, and it said Alva cut out in the grip tape. The skate rink was open right next to the skateboard park, and I didn't know that there was a skate park. And when I went there, it was the grand opening. I was going roller skating with my new skates, and like, what the hell? I'm going to this freaking demo. And there was girls skating there back in the day. And they were doing the demo, and they're doing frontside grinds in the keyhole.
Do you remember who?
I don't even remember who it was, but I just know how much that, when I saw those girls, I was like, dude, I could do that too. I mean, I already wanted to skate, but I'm just saying, when girls can actually see another girl doing something, it really makes you know that you can do that and more when you're younger.
Absolutely.
So that made a big impact on me, and I was like,
Ditch
the roller skates, and I'm like, wanted to go buy a skateboard.
Wait, you didn't put your roller skate trucks on your 2x4?
Hell no. I was skating from then on. I'm like, dude, this skate park just opened, and that's like, I'm just here every day now.
You got rid of the disco records
I don't think I ever went back. I mean, that was it. And then shortly after that, like, too, I was skating, and it was on, you know? Sick. And then I met Gail Webb when she was there today. And she got me doing demos. And I even rode after I had the Alva board. I even got to ride on the Alva team for a short term.
Nice.
But then I ended up being Santa Cruz. And I don't know. It was just, it's kind of a blur now. But it was fun. Then ramps started emerging. And I started skating ramps, because I learned on concrete.
Right.
So I was like, what is this ramp thing? So I had to...
Launch ramps.
I had to go learn that whole thing. So that's how...
That's
really
cool.
And I was up in NorCal a lot, and I skated up there a lot, because I went to school up in Northern California.
In where?
UC Davis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I would go over to San Francisco a lot.
Did you skate with, like, the Sacto guys too, like the N-Men and stuff back then? Okay.
And skate the San Jose Warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
I always skated there.
Yeah.
And that was cool. That was kind of gnarly sometimes with
for
that crew.
Sure. Good
and
sessions.
I remember meeting Wade Spire trying to learn how to skate the spine.
The
they
spine.
Had this spine, and I didn't know how to skate spines. And he was so cool. Like, you know, back in the day, like, he was always so cool to me and it taught me how to go over the spine.
He's one of the best to ever do it.
Really?
Spine ramp-wise, Wade Spire.
It was cool because, like,
tutorial time.
Some of the guys were kind of vibey, but that's
for
just
sure.
how it was, you know. It was like, that's how skating is, and it's hard when you're the only girl and you're showing up,
yeah,
and you just want to skate, you're not trying to like outdo anyone.
Yeah.
But I met like Cardiel up there too.
Sick.
So it was cool because he's always been cool.
Yeah.
To everyone,
of course.
Like, so, you know, what are you gonna do? You gotta just keep skating. I'd be skating on the ramp with like 20 guys and you gotta go.
Yeah.
Or you're not skating.
For sure. Do you remember your first skateboard?
Yeah, my first skateboard was a Schmidt-Stix. Because I started skating in the early 90s, like 91 probably. Stone Edge Skate Park opened in Daytona Beach. That was right around the time that all the skate parks in California were closing.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, oh, this cement park in Daytona. So it was kind of cool era for me, like, you know, growing up skating at the park and then having all these different pros come through every week. There was like, oh, who's going to be at the park today?
Sick.
You know? And I remember like one of the funniest stories is we went across the street to our friend's house. I think Jody and them had an apartment or something. And we were hanging out, and then we went to leave, and this guy was with us. He was walking down the stairs in front of me, and I could see the top of his head, and it looked like he had staples in his head.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, what the hell? So I like told my friend, I was like, dude, I skated with this dude today that he freaking skated and he had staples in his head. And they're like, nah, dude, that's Jay Adams, zipper head.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like totally like 16, you know, like, skated with this gnarly guy with freaking staples in his head. But yeah, no, that's really cool. Like just growing up over there and the Glug House,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
we put up a bunch of people. I think we got the host award in Thrasher,
so
like
sick.
In the 10th anniversary or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It was just a really cool era. You know, all the parks in Cali had closed and everyone was coming to Florida. And
who are the locals that were ripping at that time?
It was like Lenny Bird and Buck Smith and those guys
Buck
would
Smith,
come down
yeah.
and, Mike Frazier, and Brian Howard, and like all that crew.
Yeah.
So those were some of the guys that I grew up skating with.
And then you moved out here eventually?
Yeah, so I came out on the Glug bus. Like, so we had our own skate bus. I was like 18. Yes, yes. Yeah,
and
so
that was like 92 at the Back to the City concert?
Yeah, like 91, 92,
okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I met like everybody, and I think I met, you know, like you said, Cardiel and Julian Stranger, and
for sure.
Everyone was around at that time. And I remember like Christian showing up with his you know, t-shirt hanging out of the thing, like doing the launch ramps.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like such a classic time because it was transitioning from vert to street. So it was like such a funny time in skateboard history, and all the wheels got small. It was like super hard to find wheels, you know, to skate vert or pools or whatever we were skating.
Rad. And then you both were on covers. You were on High Times and you were on Thrasher. Maybe you were on Trans World too. I'm not sure, but I know you were.
No, I was on Thrasher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
Heck yeah.
That was 85, I think.
89.
Okay.
Yeah.
Frontside Air?
Frontside Air with all this pink stuff. Who knows?
Yeah.
I was sick. I had that cover on my wall before I met Carabeth because I was inspired.
Was there another female to get a cover before that?
I don't think so.
You were the first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
How rad. And
yeah.
you were the first girl to go to the X Games or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, I guess, like, so Bob and I ended up doing doubles at the X Games one time in
Bob
Philly.
Bob Burnquist.
Mm-hmm.
It was the doubles or something, right?
Yeah, it was the doubles. But it was cool because it was an opportunity to get the girls' foot in the door because we've been trying, you know, to
we've
get the girls'
been, like,
foot in the door.
Demos and just skating, but we weren't, you know, allowed to have our own contest there.
Right.
It was funny. It was really controversial, too, because I guess everyone was kind of pissed because I supposedly didn't qualify. But I did win the women's. I was like top points of the women's that year, but I hadn't qualified for the men's or whatever. But it was just kind of like, we're just going to skate this thing and get the girls' foot in the door. That's what it was important for
me.
Everyone always
always has a problem with the.
Of course.
Not always, but yeah, some it's people. Just it was always the guys that didn't make the cut, you know, and the doubles was their big
yeah.
thing.
So. Yeah, that happened in Tampa 1 year. We sent out Pete Kolpitz, who's a local ripper, and Jake took him out there, and he was skating, and he just does gnarly shit. Like, he skates differently. Like, he's doing 180s on the flat bottom and shit like that. And some yeah. people were like, who the fuck is this guy, and why did he qualify?
Right,
and it's
right.
like, dude, just his fucking whatever. So you skated doubles with Bob.
Yes.
And then did the next year they open it up or no?
I think so. I think the next year is when we finally talked to those guys and they were said, hey, we want to have a girls
like
contest.
Vert
yeah. Vert. Uh-huh. And I think, did they do street too? Yeah, they did street too. It was the first year
yeah.
they did it.
We started having our event with them, but then it kind of got another controversial thing because they weren't upping the prize purse for the girls.
Right.
You know, it was just like a grand, but shit, we spent a lot of money going up to LA and having to pay for that and stuff. And like, you know, at least pay like the top three. So it took, we tried to get it up there and try to work with the contests and stuff, but mm-hmm. it didn't happen. And it wasn't happening until we started our own organization. Action Sports Alliance, and we went and we're a nonprofit, oh. and we had to get the girls to boycott 1 year.
Oh shit!
Just a little bit, yeah.
And then no one showed up to skate street or anything or vert, and everyone was pissed, and we were able to be heard.
But it worked.
But it eventually worked. I think it was the following year something else happened, and they didn't follow through. So anyway, I was able to get a meeting with the president of ESPN at the time.
Wow.
With Mimi Noop and our lawyer, Drew Mearns, uh-huh. in this big, in LA, up in the studio. And we were just like, you know, we would like to grow girls, but we need to, you know, we need to have more footage to have other people see us. And also, we need bigger prize purse because I'm just winning, or whoever's going to win is going to win a grand and then
right.
500. Like, that's not a lot for, like, skating. You know, the top three girls definitely deserved that. And I think the guys thought we were going to take money away from them. But that was one of the things we said is, like, no prize purse can be taken from the guys. And we need to up our ante. And, like, it should be for all the girls and all your events. And so the guy agreed to bring it to 15 grand that year. From 1,000 to like 10 and then 5 for third.
Because it, at that time,
just for
it was,
speaking up, it was like $1,000.
It was 1,000 for first place.
That's it.
And for the men's, it
was 50,000.
Wow.
And so he asked us what we thought, and we were like, well, maybe you could do 15 for the girls for first.
Right.
You know, we didn't want to say equal, but he said that, okay, he verbally agreed to this, and then he said, well, I'll bring it to equal pay within so many years, but every year I'll bring it up for the
yeah.
girls. And he did. And then it was brought to equal pay. But, you know, then I was kind of hated on after that with, I think, some of the judges or whatever, because I didn't mean it going behind people's back, but sometimes you got to just do what you got to do.
Go on top.
No, you got to make it happen.
I had to make it happen, and I yeah. did it for all the girls.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? People have to do that. And
fuck
I,
yeah.
Yeah, but I took the heat for it, and I don't care. I would do it the same
yeah.
just to make change, you know? That's just
yeah, but you also have a lot of respect from all the girls, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah, and I try to go about it in everything I do with good, you know, intentions and not to disrespect anyone along the way.
Right.
Even if it's who I'm, you know, I don't do it that way.
Uh-huh.
So they were just, you know, because it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And I wanted there to be, you know, more incentive for the girls
sure.
in the future. And look now, like, the prize purse is, like, huge. Is
yeah, today was today 25 like, grand for first, I think, like, or 28 or something.
I was, tripping on, like, you know, all these, it was like, okay, here's your $1,700. Here's your $2,200. It was like 10th, and they keep going and going. And I was like, wow, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, then they can keep skating. You know, a lot of the top girls can sustain themselves with, you know, if they don't even have sponsors that could help them, at least they get some money for the contest they're doing.
Right. Because
it costs a lot of money to live and try to skate a lot every day at a top level.
For sure. Man, that's cool.
But anyway, we've done that, you know, just
yeah.
all along the way, but in a good way, and that's how I like to be, you know?
Uh-huh.
But if someone takes it the wrong way, it's just their own ego being...
Right.
Yeah. You know.
When you hear Thrasher magazine, what do you think?
gnarly.
Uh-huh. Roots and punk rock and keeping it real. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just Thrasher's like just like the skate mag, you know, like the magazine to look at for skating, what's right. going on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And they always supported the girls, you know. Like, I had my first photo in Thrasher. It was a contents page in the, like, I can't remember, Blackpool or something.
Your first photo ever was a contents page?
Yes, a double contents page. Yeah, yeah. I was so hyped,
that's,
you know.
That's so sick.
Yep, it was cool. Like,
most people's is like photo graffiti or a little photo in the corner, but no, you got the contents.
No, they were, there was all kinds of love, so it was really sweet. Hell you yeah. know? So.
Did you guys shoot with like Mofo or Bryce and stuff back in the day?
Yeah, and Bryce.
Uh-huh. Bryce shot that one.
Uh-huh. I met Mofo and I'd go to San Francisco from school. I'd go stay with him and we did an interview.
Okay.
I had an interview in Thrasher. I don't know what year it was.
Yeah.
But that's how I know Mofo so good. And okay. he's so awesome. And
yeah.
I would go stay at his house and he was so gnarly. And then he'd go out and I'd be like, okay, he's going out. I'm going to bed. But, you know, and he'd get up and take me to breakfast in the morning and then we'd go shoot wherever. And, uh-huh. And you know, being able to have that kind of support, you end up like, I remember, I think I did my first stale fish just because I was doing that. Shoot.
Rad.
And even doing contests and all that stuff, it inspires you to just want to work harder and make stuff you normally wouldn't make just in a session.
Yeah.
You know? So
absolutely.
It just, that's one good thing about all that, you know, because you just do stuff. You're like, you know, and you're just like, fuck, that was so sick.
Right.
You know, we've always had so many contests. We were like on and like everyone was skating better than ever because of the contest.
Okay.
And that
because everyone's pushing each
yeah
other.
And the girls need that too.
Yeah,
and that's how they are getting like better,
because
everyone's getting pushing each other's
yeah
so, and that's important too. And so like we just want to have that too, you know. It's not, it's just like I want to do that.
Yeah.
So
no, I've been filming the girls contest for at least 5 or 6 years. And like the progression is crazy.
Yeah.
Like it used to be like, okay, Lizzie, Alicia, and like two other girls. And now it's like 10-year-olds doing backside nose grind every time.
So rad.
Could you talk a little bit about the High Times? How did you get on? How did that work out? How did you get on the cover of that?
The High Times thing. No, that's funny. So I was out in New York for one of my sponsors, Urban Decay Makeup.
Uh-huh.
And so they flew us out to New York to do this thing at Sephora. And we're hanging out. And you know, there was media there, whatever. And then I see this guy with, like, a leather jacket. And he's kind of, like, you know, lurking. And I'm like, who's this dude, you know? Like, he seems kind of cool. Like, what's your story? So he's like, yeah, what's up? He's like, I'm from High Times. And I was like, what? I was like, High Times magazine? He's like, yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. So they invited us to go out that night. And it was so sick. They actually, like, picked us up in a limo and drove us to this little club, Hole in the Wall, and walked in, like, Chelsea Clinton was there.
Oh,
Puff Daddy, when he was still Puff Daddy before he was P. Diddy.
Whoa.
Like, it was like crazy.
Some baller.
Yeah, there was like all these crazy people there in this little time. And they put down the High Times credit card, you know, because drinks were like freaking $1 million.
Open house.
They're like, yeah, here you go, girls. Open like, bar. We had the High Times credit card. And so we went and met up with them the next day at the High Times headquarters. And, got to give us a tour and all that. So they basically were like, hey, you know, we want to do this, you know, this whole mag on athletes, you know, skateboarders and motocross, whatever.
Oh.
Are you down to shoot with that? And I was like, hell yeah. So they came out to Cali and came by my house and we shot, and it ended up being the cover.
Did you know it, that you're gonna have the cover?
No, I didn't know. And I actually found out later that I think some of the other guys that were in the mag were kind of bummed that they thought that they were gonna have the cover.
Of course.
But they said it was like one of their best selling mags they ever had. So it was like kind of cool.
Yeah. I remember when it came out, it was a big deal. Like, everyone was like, did you see Jen got the High Times cover? Like, the brain was melting.
Dude, and it's funny because I actually lost a sponsor over that.
Oh.
T-Mobile was my sponsor.
Jesus.
And they reneged on me, and then like 2 months later hired Snoop Dogg.
Whoa.
I was like, dude, stoners lose more phones than anybody.
Oh,
like, duh. So it was like really interesting. But then I have another, like, so Roxy, I was just about to sign with Roxy at the time for their first girl skate team or whatever. And it was like a little bit of controversy. And then at the top level, like, I think they were like, she's in. Like, she's, so they still hired
That's
me.
Roxy Bathing Suits?
Roxy, Roxy's like a girl's clothing line.
Oh, okay.
It's like Quicksilver's girl's line.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, sure. So it's like funny. Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing.
That is pretty wild. What's one of the gnarliest things you've seen her do on a skateboard?
Oh, gosh. CB, you know, she's just like punk rock. Like, she's always like the first person on the ramp, the last person off, always, forever. And
maybe not now, but back then I was.
Hey, you know, we're not getting younger. But gosh, I don't even know. Just like gnarly disasters and freaking board slides and rock and rolls and I don't know, ollies. And
there wasn't one day that stood out that you're like, remember when we went to that pool or anything? Like,
you know what? Well, we would just skate. You know, all Kelly's and chickens and stuff, like, right. Oh yeah, like all her airs over Kelly Belmar's channels and
yeah,
stuff, you know, like
no,
we were skating chickens and basic, and then we were connecting with like Duncan and Eddie Radigy and Hosoi, so we're hanging out with those guys skating on the weekends.
What a good time.
And skating backyard pools so with everybody, nude bowl, you know.
Let's tell the story about when Jake and I were here at the Combi that one year, and you guys were eating, and Jake yells over and goes, what the fuck was the gnarliest thing you did?
Yeah, and I'm just like sitting there, and I'm sitting with Mimi Noop, and she's looking at me, and I'm looking at her, and we just have this look like, oh shit, here we go, you know. And Jake's like, you know, what was it, Jen? What was the gnarliest accomplishment in your whole life? And I was like, and then he looked at me and I looked at him and I was thinking Lotus, my daughter. And he's like, and it's not Lotus.
Uh-huh.
I was like, ah, oh, shit. And then he's like, it was the front side grind and the Kong Bowl. Like, that was it. He's like, that's your biggest accomplishment of your life. And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, thanks, Jake. Like, sick.
It was so funny when he's just Jake's. You're like, oh, shit. Yeah. Here comes Jake.
Who knows what's going to happen.
I know. You're like, okay, what is he going to say?
But that that bowl that you're talking about, the first time I went there, we were driving there and we're all in the van and they're like, I got a 12 pack if you drop in anywhere at this bowl we're going to. And I was like, what do you mean? Really? Mm-hmm. And like, we get there and I was like, oh shit. Like, that thing is fucking gnarly.
I
did actually find a little quarter that I did drop into, but it was like,
where
oh.
Where is that bowl?
It was like West Seattle.
Yeah, it was in Hubbard's backyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aw,
yeah.
Rest in peace, Bella.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Who are some of the girls of today that you guys, do you guys pay attention to, like, who the, like, you got some favorites or?
Oh, Nora Vasconcelos.
She lived with you, right?
Yeah, and yeah. Nicole Haas, of course.
Oh,
yeah, I met Nicole here at the Combi, like, when she was 11,
uh-huh.
And I got to be friends with her and her parents and got them to come down to San Diego a lot and hang out with me. And that's how we became friends. And I would go skate with Nicole all the time when she'd come into town. She'd come with me and I'd take her around and take her to the Combi or whatever was happening.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So, yeah. So, I mean, those are my girls, you know, like, for sure. I mean, yeah, I try to stay in the loop, too, and go. I like to go to the events. But I don't know, like, some of the newer girls,
yeah.
Which is awesome.
None of us do.
I'm like, where did they come from?
We'll know them next year.
But, yeah, just living with those guys was super fun, having Ren, them.
You got 9 cats? Is that the story?
I have 6 now. I mean, okay. I've had several, but I always rescue, you know.
Okay.
But they were cool because, like, you know, Nora's always swooping my Lou up, the Lou. And, like, it was harsh when they moved out because my Lou was so depressed. She's walking around the house going, so I have to take her to go visit them all the time. Or I took Lou to the skate park recently to see Nora, and Nora posted a picture. It was cool, but she really, yeah, my cat was just obsessed with them. We had good times. I'd always come home and like, I was like, are they out in the garage? And I can't hear any much in the garage. I go in the garage and like, they have it all set up with TVs and video games, and there'd be like a crew of everyone out there,
yeah,
just hanging out. It was cool.
That's a good crew. You mentioned your daughter How's that been? She's 19 now?
She just turned 19 a couple days ago.
That's insane.
Yeah.
How's motherhood been?
Well, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because back then when I got pregnant with Lotus, you know, I was still skating and I was, it was like, really? I mean, because I, yeah, so I ended up having Lotus, but it was interesting because I didn't have anyone to look up to. There was no other girl pro skateboarders that had kids. So it was all on my own, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
On what to do and how to come back and all that. But I was on a mission. I'm like, I'm going to put this kid in the backpack. I'm going to take her with me because I'm like sick. Not done, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was, it was cool. And I did it. I mean, and I would skate the Condes and have Lotus and be a mom. And
did she spend some time with you and some time with Bob? Or
yeah, well, because Bob and I split up, I think, when Lotus was like 7.
Okay.
So yeah, we were together for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And so yeah, she would be with me sometimes. We'd do week on and week off.
Uh-huh.
Her growing up. No. Okay. So yeah, so I had Lotus, and then I came back and I actually won the World Cup, and that's when I got the cover of High Times. And
wow.
Like, yeah, I was stoked. I like came
mission
back and did it, you know? So yeah.
So sick.
Yeah. It was awesome. And she skates a little bit. She got really big into dance. They actually, she was like a pre-professional ballet after like 3 years on point. They like put her into pre-professional. Like,
of course she's probably like super talented at whatever she wants to do. With two parents like that, it's like the genes are pretty high.
Yeah, she's awesome. I'm really hyped on how she's turning out. She's a cool kid.
She's awesome.
And then you just spent like, what'd you say? Was it 7 years that you were in? You were just in Hawaii for us.
Yeah, I was living out on Kauai for a couple years.
For a few?
Yeah.
And what was your favorite thing out there? Like, did you go snorkeling, surfing? There's not much skating on Kauai, right?
Yeah, there unfortunately isn't much skating. I really want to try to get something going out there for those kids, because their skate park out there is hurting, and there's no reason why they shouldn't have a good skate park.
Did you ever go to Danny's complex?
I actually did barge Danny's complex. I couldn't get in touch with him, and some local kids were like, hey, you want to go barge Danny Way's ramp? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So he's like, well, we got to jump this fence, and we like literally like barge Danny's ramp, and we were just skating it, and then this guy comes out after about, we got to skate it for about 45 minutes, this guy comes out all pissed off with a gun.
Oh,
like straight
shit.
Up came out with a gun, and he's like, you're not supposed to be here. And I was like, no, seriously, it's okay, like I'm friends with Danny Way, I tell him Jen O'Brien was here.
Wow.
I really don't think he'll care, like, but it's just funny. And I haven't seen That's Danny funny. Since then to tell him, like, did your buddy ever tell you, like, I couldn't say no. I mean, it was like, hey, and that was the only chance I ever got to go skate it. So I went for it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
I got one last question for you guys. It's a little controversial, but you're both from this generation that I think understands it more than this newer generation. There's been a lot of things happening with, like, attacks on people. But what do you think about that? Like, can you speak on that at all?
I don't ever want to hold people for anything like they did like years ago, even if it was towards me. And it's just like, I'm over that now. I don't want to be holding that hate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much energy. And it's like, people need to chill out a little bit more.
Absolutely.
It's just too much hate. And it's just like, I don't know. I just like to be down with people and be cool. And, maybe show that way to other people I'm around. Be like, hey, let's just be nice to other people, even if we don't know them, you know? Like,
spread the stoke.
I think that's a perfect way to end this. I love both of you. I have so much respect for both of you, and I'm super hyped that we got to do this.
Yeah,
it means a lot to me.
Me too. I'm stoked.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
That was awesome.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
Well, I ain't going to work today. Cause I'd rather work on breaking my own bones than some starving around. Traitor, don't train his horse. No!
couple bikers pull up on me, one on each side.
I hate those fucks.
They try to lock me in, and here comes a bus. These scumbags, they want me dead. I know I want my head.
Go!
I'm buzzed up, drunk, stuck out on a vodka.
We gotta go!
But turning us fuck, the fuck is slow.
We gotta go!
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please subscribe now on Anchor, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like this show, one of the best ways to show some love is to write up a review. I always appreciate to hear your thoughts, and detailed reviews are the best way for people to discover us. Also, a big shout out to our executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it.